ओम नमो भगवते। टुडे इज द फोर्थ डे ऑफ आवर योगा साधना कैंप। टुडे वी विल कंसंट्रेट फ्रॉम बुक 8 कांटो 3 टू बुक 12। फर्स्ट आई विल रीड दिस मदर्स मैसेज। Two things are needed. This mother's message. Two things are needed. First, nothing in your being, no part of your being should wish to die. That does not often happen. You always have somewhere in you a defeatist, something tired or disgusted, which has had enough, something lazy, or which does not want to fight and says, ah, well, let it be over, so much the better. Here the mother gives importance that no part of our being must be willing towards death, willingness towards death. No part of our being should consent towards death. So mother is telling, if any small part of our being is defeatist, then that is enough, you are dead. But it is a fact, if nothing, absolutely nothing in you consents to die, you will not die. For someone to die, there is always a second, if a hundredth part of a second, when he consents. If there is not that second of consent, he will not die. But who is certain he does not have within himself somewhere a tiny bit of a defeatist which just yields and says, oh, well, hence the need to unify oneself. So we can remove defeatist if we are concentrated around our psychic being, this mother proposes. Whatever the path we may follow, the subject we may study, we always reach the same result. The most important thing for an individual is to unify himself around his divine center, which is the psychic being. That way he becomes a real individual, master of himself and of his destiny. Otherwise he is playing of the forces which toss him about like a cork in a stream. He goes where he does not want to, is made to do what he does not want to, and finally he gets lost in a hole without any way to stop himself doing so. But if you are consciously organized, unified around the divine center, governed and led by it, you are the master of your destiny. It is worth trying. So the mother gives importance that we should concentrate ourselves around our psychic being. Then psychic being has the capacity to change the destiny and transform this fixed destiny into spiritual destiny. At any rate, I find it is better to be the master rather than the slave. So my mother speaks that we should not be slave of the circumstance, so we should be the master. Then mother's another message. God knows, never, not 1 minute in my life, even when things were the darkest, the blackest, and the most negative, the most painful, not once did the thought come, I would like to die. So this was the mother's. Mother speaks about our life, that he never thought about her own death, even during the most critical and most difficult period. So this is the attitude of integral sadhak, that he should under no circumstance think of his own death. And he should be ready to confront with it, not to submit to the death. So now we'll come to Savitri Book 8, Canto 3. This is the death of Satyavan in the forest. So this canto speaks symbolically of earthly departure of Satyavan. This canto Sri Aurobindo wrote in during the Baroda period. He wrote this canto. This canto speaks symbolically of earthly departure of Satyavan in all life, and Satyavan will return to earth after Savitri's yoga. Satyavan will return to earth after Savitri's yoga in subconscious and inconscient planes are complete, which is again an issue of many births. Savitri was supremely aware of the day in which Satyavan would leave his body. So this is the line when the Satyavan's death came on the day Satyavan will die. This is the line from Savitri. Savitri told, "Now has a strong desire seized all my heart to go with Satyavan, holding his hand, into the life that he has loved and touched, herbs he has trod and known the forest flowers, and here at ease the birds and this scurrying life that starts and ceases, reach far rustle of box and all the mystic whispering of the woods." So this gives a clear message to a sadhak: instead of following the escapist solution of moderate or later Vedantist, he must prepare and accumulate soul force in his inner life all the time to confront death, which is experienced by Satyavan as follows. But as he, this is the line, but he, this is the experience of death of Satyavan in the forest. But as he worked, his doom upon him came. The violent and hungry hounds of pain traveled through his body, beating as they passed, silently, and all his suffering breath besides, strove to rend life's strong heart cords and be free. Then helped, as if a beast had left its prey, a moment in a wave of rich relief, reborn to strength and happy ease he stood, rejoicing, and resumed his confident toil, but with less seeing strokes. Now the great woodsman hewed at him, and his labor ceased. Lifting his arms, he flung away the poignant axe far from him like an instrument of pain. She came to him in silent anguish and clasped, and he cried to her, "Savitri, a pang clips through my head and breast as if an axe were piercing it and not the living branch. Such agony rends me as the tree must feel when it is sundered and must lose its life. Awhile, let me lay my head upon thy lap and guard me with thy hands from evil fate. Perhaps because thou touchest, death may pass." This is the critical hour that Sri Aurobindo described, how Satyavan meets death and what is our last word. So this has to be understood, that during the inner wandering in the subconscious and inconscient plane in finding the secret of immortality and origin of death, Satyavan met the accidental death in all life. His link with Savitri made him again return to earth as the last avatar. This link is the divine love which grows and becomes strong through sadhana. By breaking the weak bond fostered through human love, death succeeds in carrying human souls to its home. So the secret of immortality is that one has to make a passage. So that passage is from Satchidananda to inconscient plane. There are many gulfs, and if all the gulfs are breached, which is a work of many paths. So if Savitri was working through many paths to breach the gulf, and when all the gulfs are breached, including subconscious and inconscient seeds, then that is the period of the last avatar, and during that time the physical immortality can be gained. That is the period. So this is possible through yoga. Through yoga, the bond becomes strong, and through human love, if the relation is a human love, then that is a weak bond, and death succeeds in carrying human souls to its home by breaking this bond. This canto also hints that during death, the bright spirit's luminous cage was withdrawn and only the dull and physical mind was left. So this is the description of Satyavan. So integral yoga proposes that before meeting physical death, the dwarf physical mind must be illumined and transformed. This is a difficult task, and the mother declared, this physical mind receiving the supramental light, Sri Aurobindo called the mind of light. As soon as Sri Aurobindo withdrew from his body, what he has called the mind of light got realized in me. So when Sri Aurobindo left his body during that period, the mother's physical mind was able to hold the supramental energy. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it is given importance that this tamasic mind, rajasic mind, and sattvic mind should be silenced. And in the integral yoga, after it is silent, so it has to be transformed, this both physical mind, tamasic mind, rajasic mind, and sattvic mind are to be transformed. They have to undergo transformation so that there will be no twilight, thought will be there. And everything will be illumined and affirmative vibration they will generate. Now we'll come to Book 9, Canto 1. So here Savitri entered the inconscient world. This world is the home of death, and only dead people can visit that unhealthy world of negation and darkness. King Ashwapati traveled this world without dying and suffered multiple injuries that were slow to heal. Savitri also visited the inconscient world without dying. In this canto, the movement of consciousness between the supramental and inconscient plane is observed, which appears to be a long movement before consciousness is preoccupied with subconscious transformation. So Book 10, four cantos, that is, that deals with subconscious transformation, and this Book 9, Canto 1 and Canto 2, they deal with inconscient transformation. So this canto suggests that those who are established in supramental consciousness can alone visit the inconscient world in deep trance, and through that exercise alone, the inconscient world can be illumined and transformed. Sri Aurobindo's accident in 1938 was an attack by a dark Asuric force while he was pursuing transformation action in subconscious and inconscient. This canto also suggests that a sadhaka must be established in supramental consciousness before meeting his own death of kith and kin or brother souls. Extreme adversity must be met like a tree recovering from the wind. Savitri had also the same experience after Satyavana's death. This is the line, she measured not her loss with helpless thoughts. So what was the state of consciousness of Savitri after Satyavana's death? She measured not her loss with helpless thoughts. Then suddenly there came on her the change which in tremendous moments of our lives can overtake sometimes the human soul and hold it up towards its luminous source. So after Satyavana left, Savitri's psychic being at contact with the source of this existence, Satchidananda plane. So she, her consciousness was established in Satchidananda plane. Over was the haunted pain, the rending fear. Her grief had passed away, her mind was still, her heart beat quietly with sovereign force. There came a freedom from the heartstrings clutch. Now all her acts spring from the goddess calm. So this proposes, Savitri proposes, that the silence, peace, and equality must predominate during whatever critical hour, whatever adversity we face. This should predominate all the time. This canto also suggests that in order to change destiny and conquer death, one must have knowledge of the past, present, and future lives. This is possible by opening the psychic, spiritual, and supramental being. Only the spirit sees and all is known. Now the limitless gaze disclosed that sees and lives in the borders of the seen and known. One can foresee and know much before the happening of the event. Its complementary line is also there. For what the spirit sees creates a truth, and what the soul imagines is made a world. So this past, present, and future, this is also hinted in the Gita. The Lord speaks, I know all the past, all the present, and future existence, O Arjuna, but me none yet knows. Then another line, many are my lives that are past and thine also, O Arjuna. All of them I know, but thou knowest not. This change of destiny is further strengthened by following experiences hinted in Savitri. Only the spirit of Savitri knew the spirit of Satyavan still, and the heart divine, the old loved heart, though changed. Her aim, joy, origin, Satyavan alone. So the mystery of the inconscient world is that it is a kingdom of titans who can slay the living soul. They are cruel sentinels of dumb necessity, and they watch across Savitri's path mercilessly. In this midnight's dumb abysses, Savitri rose like a column and shaft of fire and light against fixed destiny and the grooves of iron law. And there Satyavana met her with his wonderful bright eyes. So how Satyavana met Savitri in the inconscient world, that is also described. Then to the chill, sheer, heavy line arrived, where his feet touched the shadowy marches brink, turning arrested luminous Satyavana looked back with his wonderful eyes at Savitri. So these are the description of inconscient world. So in the next book 9, canto 2 also, the journey in the eternal night and the voice of the darkness, this is also inconscient world. The importance of Book 9, Canto 2 is the movement of consciousness through which the gulf between the supramental plane and inconscient plane is breached. If this gulf is not breached, then Satyavana cannot be traced or discovered in the inconscient home of death. And by this loss of contact, Satyavana cannot return to earth. So breaching of the gulf means that means the supreme light force will penetrate the very bottom part of the inconscient world. If that is possible, then the Satyavana's life can be restored. So what this canto proposes, that any gulf is there, that Savitri has to breach those gulf by calling down the supramental energy to those gulfs. So throughout this Savitri, through movement of consciousness, the gulfs are breached, different gulfs in different planes, because we are having 8, we are having 10 selves and 10 seals. So in other cantos, we have marked how through the movement of psychic, spiritual, and supramental consciousness, different planes of consciousness or 10 worlds are breached. So the gulf between Savitri and Satyavana in the inconscient plane, this is. But now a silent gulf between them came. Visionless, she moved amid the insensible gulfs. Then there is gulf between Savitri and Satyavana in the subconscient plane. In vain thou, means death, hast dug a dark, unbridgeable gulf. A similar gulf King Ashwapati felt in between supramental self and bliss self. The world of bliss he saw and felt its call, but found no way to enter into its joy. Across the conscious gulf there was no bridge. So similarly, there is also gulf between spiritual and mental plane. And psychic being can also bridge the gulf between spirit and matter. But soon the link of the soul with the form grew sure, unlocked where the inner spirit's trans-closed doors. The spirit traveling backward in time in order to illumine the dark untransformed world in universalized consciousness. So a gap was rent in the all-concealing vault of King Ashwapati. The conscious ends of the being went rolling back. The landmarks of the little person fell. The island ego joined its continent. So this is the description how spirit will travel back to bridge the gulfs. Then bridging the gulf between self and sense mind. A consciousness of the beauty and of bliss, a knowledge which became what it perceived, replaced the separated sense and heart and drew all nature into its embrace. So bridging the gulf between supramental bliss self and inconscient subconscious self is the most difficult exercise of integral yoga. And hence from this point of view, book 9 and book 10 are very important. And the mother had chosen book 10 for translation into French language in order to better understand and pursue her subconscious transformation. So here in this kingdom for a brief time Savitri lost Satyavan. So then by calling the supreme energy again he was able to bridge that gulf. The purpose of entry into dark inconscient world is to bridge the gulf with the aid of our golden relation with Satyavan, which falls down. In vain thou hast dug the dark unbridgeable gulf. So large-scale invasion of divine love. Now this action of divine love is still remote from the inconscient plane or even from herself cast out from love remote. How can the gulf between them be bridged by movement of consciousness? The most crucial gulf is identified as the border of subconscious and inconscient seed where Savitri lost Satyavana for a brief period while journeying along with the death. Due to this gulf, her eyes had lost their luminous Satyavana, the soul of the beloved now seen no more. Ordinary human love cannot bridge this gulf, so death becomes inevitable. After the gulf is bridged in the isolation, loneliness, and deep meditation sleep state in the inconscient seed, she again restored her relation with Satyavana through series of spiritual experiences. So these are the experience how she restored. Her husband grew into luminous said, I will bear with him the ancient mother's load. I will follow with him earth's path that lead to God. For I, who have trod with him the tracks of all time, wherever thou leadest his soul, I shall pursue. This is identified as great victory of Savitri in inconscient world. The feet of the love tread naked, hardest words. He, the divine love, labors in the depth, exalts in the heights. He shall remake thy universe, O death. This is the victory can meet the other extreme danger. Let not the inconscient gulf swallow man's race, or our mouth of darkness swallowing all that is. So these are the works Savitri had done through movement of consciousness. So now we'll come to Book 10, Canto 1. So this Book 10, all the four cantos deal with the subconscious transformation. So here the twilight, this is not the dark world, this is a twilight world, half light and half world. So Sri Aurobindo described this world as a world of double twilight. The Book 10 is identified as the book of double twilight. The first twilight is created by the invasion of fathomless light above to the dark subconscious plane below. And the second twilight is created either by the invasion of darkness below to the bright subconscious plane, or by invasion of fathomless light below the feet through the opening of subconscious and inconscient selves to the dark subconscious. So this double twilight is there. So one twilight is due to the descent of supramental energy from above the head, and other twilight is due to the same supramental energy flowing from these inconscient and subconscious seeds. That creates another twilight. The whole humanity is now going through the subconscious transformation unconsciously, and few prepared vessels are going through this transformation consciously. Those who are open to our subconscious transformation, they will feel all the time divine force is entering the mind, vital body, and subconscious seeds in a very minuscule manner. When this descent of divine force is strong enough to be felt as a higher body temperature of fever, then its outcome is a miracle in subconscious seed resulting in some divine manifestation. So the subconscious transformation, those who are ready, it is going all in all human being unconsciously, but those who are conscious of it, they will feel that all the time a slow force, divine force, is penetrating mind, life and body. And sometimes it becomes very high, this force penetration. And then some miracle some happens. So here one new thing is there, that we get information that if our psychic and spiritual beings are open, then beings of those higher planes will accompany us to assist us in our sadhana, involve in many creative actions and call down divine energies. Integral Yoga identifies 10 selves, and their opening activates affirmative beings belonging to higher planes. Similarly, through our untransformed nature, asuric beings or dark energies enter our system. And do their destructive and pessimistic action both in waking and dream states. We also get this information from Savitri that like our parents, some invisible beings pursue us in this birth and take care of us. Similarly, some beings accompany us from our past births. So we have to remember that neither this world, nor any creative action, nor any destructive action, nor any powers and personalities that are acting through us are our own. Now this Book 10, Canto 1, we get some new inputs that will assist in our subconscious transformation action. It describes some invisible beings identified as a morning twilight of the gods who assist us in our sadhana and carry us from twilight physical mind, twilight vital mind and twilight intellect to complete an integral divine light, wisdom, delight, etc. Now we concentrate on the character of these affirmative twilight beings. So here we get some input that there are beings who help us in our sadhana, in that subconscious plane also. Now we'll concentrate on the lion heaven, ever young and earth, too firm and old. This line also suggests that when we open ourselves to our divine forces, we become young and energetic, and when we keep the door open towards dark subconscient and inconscient undivine energies, we become old and weak. This also suggests the presence of heavenly beings for subconscious transformation, whose raptures of creation last too long. Their affirmative bold formations are too absolute and are too intimate with eternal things. They stand up sculptured on the eternal hills and win immortality by perfect physical form. These heavenly beings are too pure, too great, too meaningful, without shadow and without incertitude. So this is how the beings of subconscious help in our sadhana, this canto describes. Then we will come to book 10, canto 2. So in this canto 2, we are having three important points. First is, it gives more description of the twilight of the subconscious world, which must be approached through faint infiltration of truth light, with this faint beam of wandering truth, and not the latter Vedantic escape from the material problems. So we get the hint that there is a slow force that will infiltrate your body, life, mind, and the subconscious world. Secondly, here Sri Aurobindo defines the soul-slaying human love through the symbolic representation of death's gospel. So, here death adequately speaks, or Sri Aurobindo speaks through death's void what human love is. Thirdly, in this canto, the supreme word, Mahavakya of Savitri book, is revealed. So now we'll come to the third point. What is that Mahavakya of Savitri? Today morning also we discussed it. Now we'll again, in this canto, we'll speak. So this is the Mahavakya of Savitri. If there is a yet happier, greater God, let him first wear the face of Satyavana and let his soul be one with him I love. So let him seek me that I may desire. This is told by Savitri. So here psychic being is identified as the greater God. So also King Ashwapati informed that psychic being is greater than the God and also the Guru. And if one will get the psychic being, then psychic being will act as inner Guru. So psychic being has the capacity to travel to all the worlds through movement of consciousness, and it can call the Supreme Purusha, the Paramatma. So Satyavan is your Paramatma, your Supreme Self. So if there is a yet happier, greater God, let him first wear the face of Satyavan. That means if the Supreme Self will come down to the psychic being, so that we understand as the wearing of the face of Satyavan. And if the Supreme Self will come down, then when the Supreme Self is dynamite, then also the Supreme Mother, Parapurti, will also come down and will live permanently in the psychic being. Then psychic being will be the center of the union of the Paramatma and Paraprakriti. So here Sri Aurobindo speaks that to wear the face of Satyavan means to call down the Supreme Self to our psychic being, and to call down the Supreme Mother to our psychic being. And let his soul be one with him I love. If we are united with the Supreme Self, then we can love the Divine Mother, and Divine Mother will love us. So let him seek me that I may desire. So there in the heart center, we have to seek the Divine Mother so that the Divine Mother will seek us. So this is a very, very important message that first we have to call down the supreme law to our heart center, and we have to hold there. And that is by that only, if this and this is also the condition of receiving being Savitri's comprehensive divine love. So the Savitri's comprehensive divine love we can hold if we can bring the supreme Purusha and the supreme Prakriti to our heart center. So the divine love is divided into four parts here. Here we divide the comprehensive divine love into four parts, that is Jivatma's union with Paramatma, then Jivatma's union with Paraprakriti, then Paramatma's union with Paraprakriti, then fourth is Paraprakriti's union with Paraprakriti. So a sadhaka will call, first he will got the first call, then the second call of universalization, then the third call of supramental, this Paramatma's union with Paraprakriti, then the Paraprakriti's descent into the subconscient and inconscient world. So by this, the comprehensive love of the Savitri is realized. Then those who do not wear the face of Paramatma Satyavano within have no issue, no charm and glory, and no glory in their life. And their life is like love when the beloved face is gone. So this Sri Aurobindo describes in the book 3 Canto 1 that everybody, all those who pursue the divine life, they have to call down the divine to their heart center, the supreme self. So if the supreme self is not in the heart center, then there is no charm in life, there is no glory in life, and that life is like the love when the beloved space is gone. So now we'll come to Book 10, Canto 3, the debate of love and death. So in this canto, there is Savitri discovered the subconscious self within, the subconscious seed. This discovery is important for purification and transformation of subconscious and adjacent worlds of mind, life and body. So this is the description of the discovery of subconscious self. A spirit moved in black immensities and built a thought in ancient nothingness. A soul was lit in God's tremendous, a secret laboring glow of the nascent fire. So throughout the book, Sri Aurobindo gives maximum importance to these two selves, the subconscious self and inconscient self. If they will awake, then the evolution, then the spiritual transformation work will be very swift. So this we have to recognize and we have to concentrate also, how these two centers will open. And these centers will open, it is described as grand solution in spiritual, because the last Godhead sleeps in the inconscient seed, and we have to awake it by the pressure of supramental force. And this canto gives a clue how the business of death and night falls on earth. That is possible by universalization of divine love, by attainment of unity consciousness of supermind, and all is known and classed by divine love. So here this is the description. A lover leaning from his cloister store gathers the whole world into his single breast. Then shall the business fall of night and death. When unity is own, when strife is lost, and all is known and all is classed by love, who would turn back to ignorance and pain? So this is the dynamic part of the divine love. So divine love has the capacity to penetrate into subconscient and inconscient world, and if that will possess those worlds, then when unity is born, when strife is lost, and all is known and all is classed by law, who would turn back to ignorance and pain? So this is the solution Sri Aurobindo has given, that then there will be no ignorance and pain if the subconscient and inconscient worlds are captured by divine law. So this canto proposes that subconscient and transformation can only be experienced in deep meditation or non-waking trance. Entry into subconscious plane is a terrible battle against the forces of darkness. And in mother's language, I am given the awareness of how huge this thing, divine descent, is one drop at a time, so I won't be crushed. And this subconscious transformation could be done only in deep meditation and not in any other time, in activity or even in concentration. So the mother was going through subconscious transformation. So the mother declared that subconscious transformation is possible only during deep meditation and not during waking trance. So this is an important input we are getting. So this same thing also described here in Savitri. But now her spirit's flame and conscient force, retiring from the sweetness without fruit, called back her thoughts from speech to seat within, in a deep room in meditation's house. So here Savitri, here this canto speaks that through meditation, this subconscious transformation can be accelerated. Then we'll come to book 10, canto 4. This canto, the Savitri showed her universal Vishwarupa, her Vishwarupa she showed to death. The difference between the Bhagavad Gita's Vishwarupa and your Savitri's Vishwarupa, there is difference. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna saw only the Lord's universal self. But here death is possessed by Divine Mother's Vishwarupa. That is the difference. So for a sadhaka of integral yoga, both are experienced. First he has to see, then a sadhaka has to be possessed by Divine Mother. So this is the description. That death's Vishwarupa experience is weaked on his unbowed head and stubborn breast, light like a burning tongue licked off his thoughts, light was a luminous torture in his heart, light caused a splendid agony through his nerves, his darkness muttered perishing in her blaze, her mastering word commanded every line and left no room for his enormous will that seemed pushed out into some helpless space and could no more re-enter but left him void. He called to night, but she fell shuddering back. He called to hell, but sullenly it retired. He turned to the inconscient for support from which he was born, his vast sustaining self. It drew him back towards boundless vacancy, as if by himself to swallow up himself. He called to his strength, but it refused his call. His body was eaten by light, his spirit devoured. So this is the experience. So Sri Aurobindo proposes that if death can be devoured by the light, supreme light, then the death will be transformed, and by that his temporary instrumental role will be over. So death is a temporary instrument in the earth's atmosphere to raise men from ignorance to knowledge, from darkness to light. So death is not a permanent instrument of divine, it is a temporary instrument. So here also there is a proposal for sadhaka. If a sadhaka attains cosmic consciousness, then he must pursue sadhana in secrecy and silence. His presence will be intolerable for the common man because of his particular nature. Universal, he is all transcendent non. When he lives in the universal self, he becomes very intimate with all. When he lives in the transcendent consciousness, he goes beyond all these relations. This is unbearable to men of righteousness. So if a man attains cosmic consciousness, if a sadhak, then he should live alone because his presence will be unbearable for the ordinary humanity. His outward appearance will be marked with the truth power or the sound of infinity in his voice, and his eyes will shine with the light of the things beyond. So outwardly there will be power in his voice and in his eyes will be very bright eyes. And because whatever soul force one accumulates, that is visible in the eye becomes bright with the accumulation of soul force. Now we'll come to book 11. So after here in the book 10 canto 4, here the death left Satyavan and Savitri, so left, and then he was not transformed. He escaped to his own inconscient home without transforming. So but he left Satyavan and Savitri. So in book 11, the Savitri after death left, so Savitri entered the everlasting day of Sachitananda consciousness. So after Savitri moves through the realms of eternal night and dream to light and defeats death, so that he retreats and gives up his claim to Satyavana's soul, Savitri enters the realm of super conscience. So here, Savitri in the everlasting day made Supreme Lord. That means static aspect of the divine. King Ashwapati made the Supreme Mother, the dynamic aspect of the Supreme Lord. And here, Savitri made the divine. So there is a difference between Ashwapati's experience of Supreme Mother and Savitri's experience of Supreme Lord. So if one will pursue sadhana, one should have both the experience. So there is a difference. One key difference is that between the Supreme's discussion with Savitri and the Divine Mother's instruction with King Ashwapati is that even though both Lord and the Supreme Mother said not to ascend the descent of the Force on unprepared earth, with King Ashwapati he was asked to remain on earth and let thy toil be vast and accept the difficulty and godlike toil and not to retire to the station above the creation. With Savitri, the Supreme is actually asking her to withdraw into the highest plane of consciousness. But Savitri rejected Supreme's boon. So Savitri wanted that whatever boon he gives, that should also be given to the whole creation. The Supreme is pleased with Savitri's choice and grants her supreme consummation, which is to find the divine in all and be filled by the divine. He says that after Savitri prepares the earth, it will then be able to bear the descent of the Supreme Mother, the last avatar. This will coincide with the emergence of new race of a diviner man, who will also raise the existing race of men towards the divine. This will then allow the Supreme Force and the presence to act directly on earth without distortion and the need of any intermediary consciousness. So this is the most important secret of this canto, is a divine force shall flow through tissue and cell and take charge of the breath and the speech and act, and all the thoughts shall be glow of the suns and every feeling a celestial thrill. Upon a lustrous inner dawn shall come, lighting the chambers of the slumbering mind. A sudden bliss shall run through every limb, and nature with mightier presence fill. Thus shall the earth open to the divinity, and common nature spill the wide uplift. Illumine common acts with the spirit's ray, and meet the deity in common things. Nature shall live to manifest the secret God. The spirit shall take up the human play. This earthly life become the life divine. This is the promise. So now we'll come to book 12, last book, epilogue, the return to earth. So this chapter signifies the permanent descent of Sachidananda consciousness to earth consciousness, which was the result of Savitri's permanent ascent of soul to Sachidananda consciousness. Here symbolically represented as everlasting day. So here in book 12, Satyavan and Savitri return to earth. That is a permanent descent of Satchidananda consciousness. That means in waking trance they live, and their consciousness was established in Satchidananda plane. Savitri along with Satyavan return to earth consciousness and to their bodies with the blessings of Supreme to stay in the earth's atmosphere and continue their eternal work as the dual incarnating power of the Supreme, to raise the consciousness of man to God and to bring down the higher consciousness to earth plane. This is the double task of the Savitri and Satyavan. So Satyavana is the ascending order, Savitri is the descending order. Satyavana's task is to raise the Savitri's task is to raise the consciousness of man to God, and Satyavana's task is to bring down the higher consciousness to earth plane. Satyavana recognizes the great subjective and objective change that Savitri has undergone during this long cataleptic trance, and realizes that it is due to her love alone, her accumulation of her yoga shakti in the form of divine love, that was able to bring back Satyavana from the clutch of death, or their strong bond of divine union failed death to take Satyavana away from Savitri. That he has consented to remain on earth plane and continue their work. The boon's death gave to Savitri have resulted in King Dyumatsen's outward vision and inner vision of seven immortal worlds, and king's being restored, and his lost kingdom symbolized as King Dyumatsen's lame identity with ignorance and return with the eye of the wisdom and integral knowledge. This poem finishes with marked difference in the consciousness of earth, permanent manifestation of Satchidananda consciousness on earth, especially in the inconscient plane, which now houses the promise of greater dawn and light due to the work of this dual force on the earth plane. Here, earth is always symbolically representing the subconscious and inconscient. So this is the most important secret of this chapter. So I will conclude with this verse. Awaken to this Savitri speaking, awaken to the meaning of my heart, to that to feel love and oneness is to live, and this is the magic of our golden change, is all the truth that I know or seek or sage, O sage. So this is the message, the last message of Savitri, that to feel love and oneness is to live. So oneness is the symbol of supramental life. So in this supramental life, there will be always a great harmony, great order, and great oneness. There will be no division of consciousness. So that this is the promise that Savitri gave to us. So we conclude this, that in our how we'll take benefit from this Savitri book in sadhana life, how we'll take benefit. We must pursue sadhana by outwardly becoming a mere man of action, like woodsman, status of Satyavan. So Satyavan was not a spiritual teacher, he was a simple woodsman. So Sri Aurobindo represented Satyavan as a woodsman. So that is very symbolic, that we have to live outwardly as a mere man only, and inwardly like King Ashwapati, who drops all his separative identity in the divine, possesses the highest objectives of Jnana and Bhakti Yoga by becoming Karma Yoga. So inwardly we should be become like King Ashwapati, who was a Karma Yogi, but he has attained the highest objective of Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. We must note that while pursuing this difficult yoga, if we experience spiritual fall, then also we can again pursue this sadhana of Karma Yoga like King Dyumatsen in double seclusion, that of an outcast from the privilege of light of the outer world and renouncing the enjoyment of the five sense symbolized here is loss of eyesight. So This is a difficult yoga. So if while pursuing this difficult yoga, if we experience spiritual fall, then we have to be like King Bhimatsana, who pursued yoga in double seclusion in the forest. So the first seclusion is that outcast from the privilege of light of the outer world. And other is that his eyesight, he was blind, so that is the sense, all the sense enjoyment are to be renounced. That is double seclusion. One has to do pursue sadhana. So this promise Savitri is that if we experience spiritual power, then also we will rise if we pursue sadhana in double seclusion. We must learn to consecrate our soul's childhood near the mother soul, here identified as Savitri, who serves earth and our children from below like a slave and from above like sunlight. So as child soul, we have to consecrate ourselves before the mother soul, Savitri. And here Sri Aurobindo projected Savitri as this Savitri who served earth from below like a slave and served our children like a slave and from above like sunlight. Her ceaseless consecration and ceaseless divine union could not satisfy and fulfill life because there is always a threat of an inrush of ignorance, falsehood, suffering, and death from below. They can abruptly end the charm of life. So Savitri was not satisfied with her ceaseless consecration and ceaseless divine union. She was not satisfied because there is always a danger that the death will capture life and will abruptly end the charm of life. The remedy lies in our subconscious and inconscient transformation through a collaboration of a few prepared universalized individual vessels. So this is a very big work. So Savitri needs collaboration of our children so that the subconscious and inconscient transformation is possible through the collaboration of few prepared universalized individual vessels. If our vessel is universalized, then we can collaborate in our divine work. And Savitri is still doing her sadhana in subconscious and inconscient world. That work is still going on. So we can collaborate in that work if we attend the cosmic consciousness. We can consciously collaborate in our work. So this is a task given to us. With this, I conclude. Om Tat Sat.